Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show. This is Andy Munoz, and today I am joined by Tom Hackett. We came out to Friday morning's Real Salt Lake training over at the Zions Bank. What is it? Real Academy? Zebra? This is content prior to the Seattle Sounders match, and we got some really cool interviews. Today we are speaking to Moose Danny Muvskovsky. I'm sorry if I butchered that. The new LAFC signing. We also spoke to, of course, Pablo Mastroeni, and we also spoke to Justin Miram. And last but not least, we spoke to beloved Demir Krylock. So really proud of the content that we were able to bring you quickly on such a short turnaround. As you guys know, I went out to MLS All-Star Week to work with Major League Soccer, specifically MLS Espanol, and man, was it such a cool experience. I'll talk about that experience in the next episode next week when I'm back with the RSL Show team. So keep it here. Keep it at the RSL Show for all of your Real Salt Lake content on the KSL Sports Network. And again, we're excited to bring you content ahead of the Seattle match. Take it easy, guys. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on all of the social media platforms. Much love.
Yet?
With you guys?
No, just in general.
He's only done the dunny at halftime on the broadcast.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, let's go. All right. Cool beans.
Very cool.
Muvskovsky, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
All right, man. Ready whenever you are.
Danny, what's the first couple days been like? Well, I guess first, when'd you get in?
I got in last Friday, okay. Just right when LAFC was playing the game on. They played on Saturday, I believe, uh-huh. So I came in the day before. Yeah, so that was when I got in.
LAFC didn't let you on their charter?
Unfortunately, no, but it's all right. These guys paid for a flight for me to come out, so it worked out.
Good stuff. And you're battling a hamstring. Well, no, before we get there, what's your first impression like? What do you make of this place?
I like it so far. It's different than LA, but, you know, I like it. I just like how open it is, and then obviously everyone's welcomed me, you know, really good since I've been here. You know, everyone's helped me out, and the adjustment's been good so far.
You're obviously from Nevada. Henderson, is that correct?
Yeah.
Which isn't too far from here, I guess. 6 odd hours to LA from Salt Lake City. So, have you ever been to Salt Lake before?
Yeah, I have. So I played college at UNLV in Las Vegas, and we ended up playing UVU. So I ended up coming to Salt Lake a lot. And then when I was younger, for tournaments as well. So I've been in the area, just not for, you know, an extended period of time, but I've been here for sure.
All right, tell the fans a little bit about you. You're married, got a girlfriend, dog. Is it just you out here? What's the situation?
It's just me out here. I do have a girlfriend. She's in LA right now. But other than that, it's just us two.
Is she going to move out?
We don't know yet, but we'll see how it goes. At first, I'm just focused on the adjustment and moving.
So. I got you. Well, speaking of the adjustment, you're dealing with a bit of a hamstring injury. You're training away from the team. Update us on the injury and where it's at.
Yeah, I think about two weeks out, essentially. Rehab's been going good so far. But, you know, it's just tough dealing with I got a grade 2 hamstring injury in a game against Galaxy about a month ago. So, yeah, I'll be rebounding from that, and hopefully I'll be on the field soon.
And then when it comes to your particular style of play, what is it about you that you feel like you're best suited at?
I just think I'm best suited as a goal poacher. That's how I would describe my style of play. I just try to get in the box, find myself in dangerous spots, and put the ball in the back of the net, really. But outside that also, too, I think I could work defensively as well and help the team in that way as well.
When I think of goal poacher, I think of Wondolowski, who scored too many goals for RSL fans' liking here in Rio Tinto Stadium. Is he somebody that you kind of followed throughout your career growing up?
For sure, yeah. Wondolowski was definitely a player I grew up watching. I was also drafted by the San Jose Earthquakes, so I also got to play with him briefly. And he, even then, just the brief time I was with him, he shared little insights with me. And definitely, yeah, he's a role model, not just for me, but for a lot of strikers in the United States.
And then, obviously, a lot's been said about LAFC and kind of the star-studded lineup. You were able to train and play alongside the likes of Carlos Vela and a handful of other guys. Brian Rodriguez comes to mind as well. What was that like? Did you do you feel like you personally learned a ton from those sort of players and developed a lot under that watch, I guess?
Yeah, I believe so. LAFC was really my first opportunity in MLS, so that was my first exposure to this level. And I think, yeah, definitely having teammates like Carlos, you know, Chicho Arango, and Brian Rodriguez, all those guys, all the attackers, you know, they're just really smart and they just have good instincts. And, yeah, I just think I learned a lot from them and just, yeah, picked up a lot of things.
Are you as hungry as you ever have been to make this stay work at Real Salt Lake? You have bounced around to a few different teams. I was looking at your Wikipedia, your profile. You've played for a bunch of clubs, San Jose, LAFC being the two MLS ones. But are you as hungry as ever now that you're at Real Salt Lake?
Yeah, you know, I'm 26 years old right now. I feel, you know, physically the best where I've been at in my career, and then also mixing that in with the experience I've got now. So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's all coming together in a good way, and obviously I want to make it out and max out, you know, my potential.
Well, Danny, we're excited to speak to you, and best of luck with the recovery. We're excited to see you on the pitch.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Thank cool. You, thank
you. Hey, dude, I have a quick question for you, too, real, real quick. On Twitter, there was a lot of fans from LAFC just kind of sad to see you go. Much love for you over there. Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think the fans kind of latched onto you?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just think it was, I don't know. It was the way I interacted with fans, I think. I really did try to show them a lot of love. And then, I don't know. I think that they saw a lot of my interviews and just, I don't know, kind of liked my personality a bit. And then, yeah, I had a little nickname that they really liked there, too. So I think that also resonated with a lot of fans. So. Yeah, I think that's what it was. But, you know, I love those fans. And, yeah, I was really grateful for the time that I had with them.
Awesome, bro. Thank you.
Thank you, dude. Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Really excited to have you here, man.
Yeah, I'm
excited to get started.
Cool.
All right, bro, you're good.
Okay. Justin, how do you feel? How's the body feel?
Feels good. Obviously, final stretch. So it's time to turn it up a little bit. And, you know, every game counts that much more. 6-point games now, so.
You've been doing this for a while, so you know the importance of these games. Have you been able to speak to some of the younger players on the team and try and get the energy of the group?
Yeah. You know, the thing I've relayed this whole week is small details. We don't really have to change much. If you look at, you know, the past few games, we're giving up a goal in the first few minutes of Dallas' mistake off a throw-in. You know, I got to be better. We give up 2 goals in San Jose that, you know, from our mistakes. The first 2 goals of LAFC, you know, come from us. And, you know, we all just have to tighten up a little bit more, just be a little bit more conscious of just clear the ball and regroup. And I think just these little moments have put us in this little rut. But in a way, it's not like we're getting, you know, outplayed or outmatched or our intensity's not there. So there's a lot of good stuff. It's just now tightening the bolts a little bit.
You mentioned you are in a little rut, but you also talked about how you're actually playing a decent brand of football. Is that frustrating a little bit?
Or yeah, of course. You know, results always drive the mood, and from us, coaches, fans, the media. And when you're not getting those results, but you're playing well, you look at Dallas at home, it's, the game could have been, you know, 3-0, and, you know, we couldn't find the back of the net. So, you know, they're difficult, but again, we're not not confident. We're not feeling sorry for ourselves. We know we can go anywhere and hang, and we have the grit and the fight, and now we got to put away our chances and, you know, limit these half chances for the opponent.
How do you begin to put away your chances? That's probably been the only real one issue that myself and I guess the majority of the fan base would look at and say, in the attacking third, you're creating chances, you're just not finishing them. So how do you start finishing?
The hardest part of the game is to put chances away. And, you know, I think our full chances, you know, big chances, we got to be more clinical. We got to be more killers in front of goal. And we got to be a little creative, you know, these half chances. Look at LAFC's first 2 goals. They're half chances, and they find a way to put them away, and all of a sudden, you know, we're on the outside looking in. So for us, it's just having a little bit more of that, you know, feeling in the final third. And you know, when you get that half chance, put it away, myself included.
Is that the biggest takeaway from that LAFC game? They're obviously the Supporters' Shield leaders. They're probably the best team. They could well be the best team to ever play in Major League Soccer with how many players that of quality that they have at their disposal. But they were so clinical in front of goal. Was that the biggest takeaway for you? That's what the difference is between Real Salt Lake and LAFC right now, is they can finish chances and you guys are just having a hard time.
They limit the mistakes. Very good in possession. And when they get their half moments, they have special players to put it away. And I think from front to back were very solid. And now it's just bringing out a little bit more quality in the final third. And on the defensive end, knowing when to play out and when to just clear it and, you know, fight for the next ball.
You're going to head to Seattle up there on turf. What are you expecting from them?
Tough game. Anytime you go there, their crowd, the field, the way they play, they're a good team. It's going to be a very, very intense game, and I feel a little bit of this game is going to be similar to LAFC. They're waiting for a little lapse in, you know, either concentration or a mistake to pounce on and go and score. You know, with Rui Diaz and Ladero, Jordan Morris, Roldan, you know, those guys in the attack, they're special players. But it's not one team that's going to press us constantly like or go man-on-man like San Jose. So we'll have time on the ball and we'll be able to knock it. And we have the quality to, you know, break them down. And there's not going to be many chances in the game, I feel. But when we get them, we got to put them away.
We were able to catch a little bit of training today. And without giving away too much of the game plan, obviously, it did look like you guys were trying to force the ball inside and then kick it out onto the flanks. Is that going to be part of the game plan, trying to get central?
I mean, if you go central, it's going to be a little difficult, you know, with Roldan, Rusnak, and Ladero. You know, those guys want to win it central and play wide. We're just going to play both ways. We want to, you know, switch the point of attack like we did with LAFC. We want to break through lines, and we want to play off the transition. So I think there's many ways we're going to play. But the last thing we want to do is honestly force it central for them to pounce in and attack us.
I'm sure you'll like this final question. Have you had a chance to speak to Albert Rusnak on the Instagram DM this week? Or?
No, not on the DM. We FaceTime Monday. Love the guy. Great guy. Happy for him. He's happy. But Sunday's going to be a fun one, I'm sure, for him to play his old squad.
Do you guys put any focus onto a player like him, or is he just another piece to the puzzle that you're trying to solve?
In what regards?
Well, I just, you know, because obviously there is a lot of love between him and you and the rest of the players on Real Salt Lake. I'm sure you'd love to beat him. I'm sure you'd love to kind of ruffle him up a little bit.
Freddie's on that sideline. So I'm sure it's, this game's been circled for both of those guys. And, you know, we won at home and now they kind of want the revenge. And obviously they know what happened last year in the playoffs. So I think this game has a lot of energy, and there's a lot to play for. If you look at the standings, this is a 6-point game. This is a big moment for us to separate ourselves from, you know, places 5, 6, and 7, and for them to climb the table at home. So there's a lot to play for. I'm excited. It's going to be a very intense game, and we got to be ready.
Justin, as always, thank you for the time, man. Appreciate you, dude. Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing,
bro?
Good.
Howdy, sir. How you doing? That was nice. We're getting that dad. Last time it was nearly a cauliflower deal. I was like, oh.
Walk in the park?
Okay, let's do this thing.
Ready and good to go.
All right, perfect. Pablo, how's the vibe? What's the vibe of the team?
Really good. Really good week in training. And again, I think the focus has been on continuing to do some of the same things that we've been talking about on both sides of the ball. But really the competition piece, the competing piece, because the ball can pop out at any moment, and it seems like some of the goals that we've been conceded have been kind of random in that regard. So, again, I think we're moving in a really good direction. It's just now getting results to validate all the work that we're doing.
Is that the focal point going into this week is just limiting those mistakes? It feels like you're playing a decent brand of football, but, you know, 1 or 2 seconds here and there kind of costing you guys over the last month.
Yeah, I think the game is so fluid that there's never a moment for pause, you know, especially when we're attacking. Our shape behind the ball has to be such that we're aware that any breakdown could lead to a goal. And I think for the most part, we've been really good at that. You know, I just think the biggest part for us is not conceding first. I think you're playing a different game and you can control momentum. You can control where on the field you can set your line of confrontation defensively if you score that first goal. And so really a lot of attention to how we want to press from the front, what that looks like, but more importantly is what defending as a group and attacking as a group.
Is that difficult to manage, do you think, for the players when it comes to that? They understand the importance of not conceding, but at the same time, they do want to score. So, you know, flooding numbers forward too early in the match maybe is frowned upon by yourself. But if there's an opportunity, you want them to do it. Is that difficult to manage?
No, I think we play the game that's presented to us. You know, I don't think you force things. I think we have a way that we want to build. We have a certain structure that we want to play from, and we'll alter it depending on our opponents. I think there are moments where we do break and we still haven't recognized if this is a good moment to serve the ball in because we have numbers, or is this the moment to bring our team up and circulate it and set up a final third attack. And I think that little bit of nuanced football is what we've been talking about. And we worked on it again today. Is this the moment to serve it in? Do we have good numbers? Do we have a runner behind? Or are we bringing our team up to make sure we set up our defense ready for a counterattack?
I often wonder how you score more goals when it comes to being more... You know, LAFC was so dominant and good, I guess, when it comes to finishing their chances. And you guys have been good at parts throughout this year, but as of late, you just haven't been able to quite put the ball in the back of the onion bag. I feel like it's a confidence thing. It's more mental than it is anything physical. Have you been preaching that? Has that been part of the conversation to the attackers?
Yeah, you know, I think these guys have been doing it for some time now. And, you know, like you said, earlier in the season when things were going well, we started scoring chances maybe that weren't great chances, but there's a bit of confidence within the group and you knock those in. I think now we're creating better chances and not being able to capitalize on them, whether it's a ball bobbling on the goal line, you know, after a corner kick, where LA took their chances and they were lethal in front of goal. So for us, you know, what I'll say is this. The guys have been really sharp in front of goal this week, and so it brings in confidence, and now it's going out in the field and really applying that. And I think once you score your first one, it'll validate all the good feelings that we're looking forward to really bring this thing forward.
Are you? I know you love talking formation, so I figured I'd ask you. That was sarcasm. You don't, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Are you committed to the 4-4-2?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, here's where I'm interested, because like when you look at some of the biggest managers in the world, they're like committed to one, and that's, you know, how that's they're going to play. Like Marcelo Bielsa loves to play with three in the back, and there are certain managers, and you've kind of tinkered a fair bit with some of the formation. I guess where are you at when it comes to all of this?
Well, I just think it's, you know, we've lost Domi, and I think his best setup is in a 4-2-3-1. Bobby prefers the 4-4-2. Now we have opportunities with Serge and Sava, Serge and Anderson. So I just think it's really about the players that you're going for at the weekend that best suit them and positions where they can thrive. You know, and I think Serge and Anderson actually did a really good job at the weekend stretching them. You know, Anderson had a really good opportunity at the, you know, probably 15 minutes into the game, and Serge obviously scored his goal. So depending on the players that we're going to go with at the weekend, the system can change. What doesn't change is the principles that we want in play. And so our outside backs have certain duties, our pivots have certain duties, but those front four are always interchangeable, and depending on our opponent, try to utilize them in the best way that suits them.
Last year you scraped into the playoffs. You went on this incredible playoff run. We're entering the pointy part of the season at this point. Do you go back to what happened last year, maybe a bit earlier, and try to generate some sort of momentum? However you did it last year, is at this point now. Justin Miram, who we spoke to, said this is a 6-point game, so it's a big, big game for the standings. What have you said to the guys this week to try and get them going?
Yeah. Again, it's not so much what I say. It's what I showed them from the clips at the weekend and how good we were with the ball, switching the point of attack, creating numerical advantages in the wide areas. And then it's just either the final pass or it's the finishing. But we're playing really good stuff, Dallas as well, against some of the best teams in the league. And so it's not so much about me talking, it's about me showing what they're doing so that they can see with their own eyes their actions. And again, I just think it's that. It's so easy to say we don't want to concede first, we want to come in at zeros, but the game of football doesn't give you that. So we're playing for literally 5,400 moments in the game. And if you're off on one of those 5,400 moments, it could cost you the game either way. And so how do you do that? It's just awareness. It's communication. It's never resting on your laurels. It's all the little intangibles. It's not the big stuff. The big stuff is we've been really good at. It's really the moments that define games. Are you sliding to block it off across? You know, is someone getting their body in it before they can serve it? I mean, just all the little intangibles that make football football.
I know last year you had issues communicating at times throughout the point of the season. You were pretty public about saying that. Has that been fixed this year? Are you okay with where the team's at when they're out on the pitch communicating with one another?
This week, that's been an emphasis as well.
Okay.
And again, communication not just for direction, communication to keep you in the present because you are talking, and communication to help out your teammate and keep him in the present. So when you don't talk, your internal mind starts taking over, and it starts talking crazy stuff to you. I think when you start communicating outwardly, you're focused in on what is currently happening. And when your teammate starts doing the same, and it becomes a contagion. And this week has been the best week from our back line to our midfield to our front line as far as communication.
Was that a result of what happened last week? I noticed, I think it was the third goal, Arango, Marcelo just didn't know he was there. Maybe he couldn't hear the communication. And then the Gareth Bale thing kind of looked like that shouldn't have occurred. And is that why?
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely moments, you know. And one of the things that we talked about on that third goal was the only thing Brody had to say to Marcelo was open up, open your body to be able to receive Chicho.
And he was so worried about Carlos Vela on top of the box.
Right. Yeah. So if he opens his body up, now he can at least he's aware. Now he can take two steps back, receive that run, and Brody can now step forward with Vela. So and that's what I'm talking about. That's one of the 5,400 moments. It has nothing to do with football per se, but it has everything to do with football.
Can you give us a Seattle Sounders preview quickly? What do you expect?
Listen, I think they're a very very good team, especially at home. I think they got some players up top in Morris, Ladero, and Rui Diaz, who have been ice cold in front of goal. They're killers. They take every opportunity. And then in the midfield, Albert's been, you know, a good two-way midfielder for them, creating opportunities, scoring a couple. And then their back line has always been very stingy, giving up very little. So for us, no different than any other game. It's really going to take a complete performance, and one that I'd like to see us, you know, work our way into the game, staying organized and really minimizing their opportunities and really taking our chances to really move up the field, move the team up the field, play with a lot of confidence, play with a lot of bravery, and come away with a good result.
I know you don't like the media to portray any game in this particular manner, but, you know, with Garth Lagerwey, Craig Weibel, Freddie Juarez, Albert Rusnak, the Seattle Sounders do have kind of a large contingent of former Real Salt Lake figures. Does this game mean more just because of that?
Well, I'm going to spin it a different way for you. I think when you haven't had the run of results that you've liked as a group, the problem isn't out there. The problem's internal. And so we have to dig deep within ourselves, and that is the greatest motivator. Nothing beyond us can motivate us as much as we can motivate ourselves.
Pablo, as always, best of luck, man.
Thanks,
thank
brother.
You. Appreciate you.
Cool.
Thank you, Trey.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks,
bro.
Pablo.
Absolutely.
Thank you, dude.
Great seeing you.
Have fun.
Right,
go get him.
Once again.
Hello, brother. How are you?
Once again, bro. They're going to be happy to hear from you, man. They miss you.
Something, or?
Yeah, something, man. You gotta... something.
They haven't heard your voice in a while.
I'm like available every day here, so.
You're just hiding. You hide back there.
That's my actually, you know, that's my space for training. That's not here. It's there, but you know, it's part of the life.
Very cool, man. Hey, so for the audio, it's clear that it's you, but I just for the podcast, if you'll say Demir Krylak, just drop the name in there.
Okay.
Cool.
Demir Krylak, long time no see, man. How you doing?
Doing good. You know, just. One day at a time, getting one day better, and you know, just giving everything to join the team as soon as possible. Unfortunately, there is no timeline because the injury is kind of a little bit tricky, you know, because it's we are dealing kind of with the nerve, and you know, no one knows when the nerve is gonna heal. But you know, doing all the stuff actually. We planned before, and as I said before, just you know, getting one day closer.
Has the doctors have given you guidance as to kind of how it should go? Has it gone, for the most part, according to plan?
Yeah, exactly. So we are like by certain exercises ahead of schedule, which is very positive. I don't have like any pain, just kind of still a little bit symptoms, which is, they say it's totally normal. And yeah, just doing like all the things we have to do. So started to run like 2 weeks ago, and you know, we are progressing, you know, as I said before, day by day.
You haven't ever had an injury of this magnitude before in your career. How have you mentally, how have you dealt with it?
No, I mean, it's all good, you know, it's part of the life. This is the thing, what I personally think, it's going to make you stronger. Not just in my case, I think overall, the players, they got injured for let's say, for a long term. Yeah, unfortunately, it's my, not unfortunately, I mean, luckily, it's my first injury I had in my career. And at the beginning, honestly, it was kind of, you know, a little bit hard just to watch the guys training every day, playing every week. But then kind you get used to it, you know, and, you know, you actually understood that's the only way. It's to support the guys from the outside, to, you know, to give them all strength, to give them all confidence, and I think overall they are doing more than great. So it's all up to us. We are controlling the situation, and I see very positive you know, final stretch of the season.
Are you making the training room your home now? Is that your happy place? Are you happy in there?
You know, I'm like just happy to training, whatever it is. I mean, as long as it's gonna take, you know, doesn't matter. The only thing is, like, in my head, I just wanna go through it. And as I said, for sure, it's gonna make me stronger. And you know, I know I'm gonna be back stronger. So
the club's been very supportive for you throughout this whole process. Your family, have they played a big role? Family and friends, have you felt love from a lot of different places throughout all of this?
Exactly, you know, and because of that, I would like to say thank you to everyone, you know, to all their support in this time. But you know, it's not the end of the world, you know. It is what it is, and you know, you have to think positive, and the positive things is going to happen.
Can we comfortably say on camera that Dimir Krylak will be back in season 2022?
You know what? I just want to be patient. That's all about. You know, I mean, before surgery, I told, actually, when I talked to Dr. Watkins from LA, that, you know, it can be everything from 3 to 8 months. Of course, I said the goal is going to be 3 months. Actually, this is like whatever in 20 days, so which I personally think it's gonna be hard to be on the field in 20 days. That's my goal, to be at least in full team training till the end of the season. You know, to get some minutes and then with the clear head to go for off season. But the great thing is actually that I really think that the team is gonna, you know, help me with that. Because any playoff game gives me, you know, at least 7 days more to join them. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to say if I'm going to be back in 2022. It's my goal, but there is just like no timeline.
Well, Dimir, we love and miss you, man.
Thank you.
Best of luck the rest of the way.
One more thing, man. One more thing. Do you have a message to Real Salt Lake fans? We all miss you on the field. You know, you're a big piece of the team, and people love you so much. So what kind of message do you have for the fans?
So, you know, I would like just to say on behalf of the team that we appreciate all the fans. They're coming out every single week, you know, which means, like, if I'm not wrong, we have 12 sellouts in a row, which means that we have the best support in the league, the best fans in the league, and because of that, the team is doing great, you know. And I just, you know, can't wait the final stretch of the season, the final 5 games at home, and I know the fans, they're gonna push us through, you know, to deserve actually what all of us want. So
no more last second Dimir Krylak goals on decision day this year. I think you get a playoff spot secured, and then we go from there. That was too stressful, I think, for you and the fan base.
No, I mean, you know, that's you know, the best moment of my career, you know, last year. But you know, it's great moment. But of course, I wish the team is gonna, you know, secure the spot even before last round, before last game, and then we go from there. I mean, for us, it's the most important thing to get this you know, spot where we're gonna host the playoff game, and then anything is possible. So, and I really think, you know, the way we played, the consistency we had, unfortunately, you know, the result didn't go our way, last month and a half, but the way the guys were playing, it's unbelievable. To have every single game between 12 and 20 shots, it means how much quality we have, and I really think we are the best team of the league, you know, it's easy to say that, but I'm saying this because I'm watching the guys every single week play, and the way we play, just like it's unbelievable. So we have to keep going to play with the same confidence and believe, and you know, then the positive things is going to happen.
Thank you, Dami.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Awesome,